Okay, so we're 3 minutes after the hour. I think we should get started. Let me just read off the states that I have represented on the call today in case I missed anyone. I won't do individuals' names, but just state affiliations. Massachusetts, Montana, West Virginia, California, New Jersey, Texas, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, Maine, Alabama, Nebraska, Delaware, Florida, District of Columbia, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, North Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, State of Washington, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Maryland, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and New York State. Did I miss any state?
Utah.
Yes, Pennsylvania is also on the line.
And Kansas is on the line.
And Kentucky is on the line.
Arkansas.
Ohio.
So
Ohio is on the line.
I added to that list Kansas, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Ohio.
And Pennsylvania.
And Tennessee.
And Pennsylvania and Tennessee.
Thank you, Wisconsin.
And Wisconsin.
I think you're missing Utah.
Thank you, Utah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining today's call. I think several of you, maybe most of you, have joined our prior calls. Just as a reminder, the webinar that we held last Monday on February 28th, in which we walked through the application in detail. That webinar video is available on our website, and that website is treasury.gov/SSBCI. In addition, 2 days ago, we held our conference call dealing with capital access programs, in which Tony Johnson from North Carolina discussed their program in some detail. That conference call recording will also be on our website soon, if it's not already. Today, our phone call, conference call, deals with the other category of eligible programs, other credit support programs. And we, in addition, have a phone call scheduled for next Tuesday, the 15th. The tentative subject of next Tuesday's call is marketing and outreach. However, we're thinking that the subject for next Tuesday's call may be slightly modified. We're going to reach out and see if we can find some lenders, financial institution lenders, who might join the call so that we can hear their views on these state programs. I know that many states are reaching out to their lending community, and we would welcome you emailing us with any financial institutions that you think we might invite to that phone call next Tuesday, Tuesday the 15th at 1 p.m. for the next phone call. Today's phone call, I'm going to ask my colleague Paul Pride largely to lead the conversation. Paul has many years of experience working in various credit enhancement programs and has worked on this program almost since its earliest days. So, Paul, let me ask you to take it from here. Just one technical note first. If you would please mute your phone during the call, that would help the sound quality for everyone. And this phone call, like the last one, is recorded. And that's just one more reason to improve the sound quality. We wanted you to take note of that at the top of the call. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Cliff. as you know, this teleconference concerns what's called other credit support programs. Category includes but is not limited to credit guarantee programs, collateral support programs, loan participation programs, and venture capital programs. The state of California is one of the first states to have its other credit support programs approved. And so to provide an overview of what we think will be one of the most popular types of programs that states will submit for approval, we've asked three people who are involved in the state loan guarantee program to sort of provide background and overview of how that program operates and perhaps take a few questions from you. The Merle Stevenson, the program manager for the State Small Business Loan Guarantee Program with the California Department of Business, Transportation, and Housing. Michael McCraw of California Southern FDC. I should mention that unlike a lot of states, California operates a state loan guarantee program through a network of what are called financial development corporations. These are organizations that operate in different parts of the state to originate and underwrite loan guarantees. Also representing the FDCs is Carl Zalazowski from Cal Coastal FDC and Salinas. So without further ado, I'd ask Merrill, Michael, and Carl, starting with Merrill perhaps.
This is Cliff Kellogg. I just wanted to ask if you could please mute your phone. That would help. And please make sure you do not put the call on hold because we get some very interesting elevator music when that happens sometimes.
Okay. Ask Merle or Michael or Carl, whoever wants to go first, to sort of give us an overview of the State Loan Guarantee Program.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. My name is Merle Stevenson. I'm the program director for the state of California for our Small Business Loan Guarantee Program. The program is somewhat modeled after an SBA program where we go after bank loans and then we guarantee them. And we use a network of independent contractors to sort of work in independent or local communities, and they work with their banks and local businesses to obtain and issue these guarantees. From a historic standpoint, well, before I say that, we have 7 points to cover. I'll cover the first point, and then as we go forward, Carl and Mike will just alternate and talk about different aspects of the program. But to begin with, let me give you an overview. The program has a long history of issuing loan guarantees to financial institutions and, for small businesses. The program was started about 1969-1970, if I can recall. And in that period of time, through 2011, we've issued in excess of 30,000 loan guarantees. So we have quite a bit of experience in issuing loan guarantees. We typically issue probably anywhere from 800 to 1,000 guarantees annually, some years more, some years less. Our loss experience has changed in the last couple of years. We've had higher losses, but that's reflective of what's been going on in the economy. But we keep a running five-year average, moving average for each year for the program. In this fiscal year, our moving average at this point is about 2.39%, but it should probably finish out the year maybe higher than that, probably in the 4 to 5% range. Again, that's reflective of what's happening in the economy and the number of businesses that have gotten into trouble because of just a loss of, loss of clients. So with that, that's sort of the overall history of it. The program is housed with the Business Transportation Housing Agency. And I think with that, what I'll do is hand it off to Mike. And okay. Mike, you can talk about the program organization. So go ahead, Mike.
Okay, thanks, Merle. As Merle said, that the state agency that's in charge that we contract with is Business Transportation and Housing. But we are 11 separate 501c3 nonprofit organizations that operate and deliver loan guarantees in a specified service area. Our area is San Diego and Imperial counties. We go throughout the state of California doing such. We have an expansion fund. There is an absolute amount of money that has been appropriated by the state of California that's been really in place for the entire life of the program that we use to guarantee or to secure the guarantees that we provide. I'll let Carl continue, and we're looking forward to him filling in some of the gaps. Go ahead, Carl.
Thanks, Mike. After all of that noise on the line, it was rather difficult to hear, but let me see what I can do. As Mike said, we're one of 11 corporations in the state. We contract. Each of us is independent. We're all 501c3 not-for-profit organizations, and we contract with the state to provide the loan guarantees. Our area happens to be the Central Coast area of California. Our area goes from about Santa Cruz all the way down to Ventura. It's right along the coast. And we have an opportunity to make loan guarantees here, and we have a fairly expansive network of commercial banks that we deal with, primarily up here in the Salinas area, down in the Santa Maria area, and also down in the Santa Barbara Ventura area. Are those questions? I'm sorry.
No, just keep going, Carl.
We have approximately $32 million worth of standing right now that are guaranteed. We have about $34 million worth of loans outstanding right now that are, and the guarantee amount on that's about $32 million. So we've been around in business since about 1982, and
right there, McDonald's Drive.
And we work with the other corporations to facilitate the guarantee program. With that, Merrill, would you like to talk a little bit about the program rules and mechanics?
Sure, I'll be happy to. Just a quick question. Is there somebody with their phone not on mute? Because we keep hearing conversation.
Outside of Ottawa. In the Moose Hills.
Yeah, if you could please put your phone on mute, if you possibly can.
It's a little distracting.
All right, I'll go ahead and continue now. The program mechanics is we have a trust fund that the state has funded.
Yeah.
And in that trust fund, there's approximately $26 million remaining. And that trust fund is broken down to each financial development corporation.
Okay.
And they use those monies to basically back up those guarantees.
Uh-huh.
Under state law, we're able to leverage that trust fund up to five to one. And as defaults occur, a financial development corporation will basically submit it to us. And then we, in turn, submit it to our bank trustee who holds these funds, and they make the payment.
All right.
The different success factors and challenges, well, the challenges mostly in the last couple of years is trying to survive what's been going on in the economy. And there's been a couple of issues primarily that have influenced us. In the state of California, there's been quite a dramatic slowdown. And as a result, the level of sales for businesses and revenues for businesses dropped dramatically, which has put some stress on the trust fund. But we're hoping that the actual number of losses will start declining at this point, and things will start getting better. So we have our fingers crossed. To talk a little bit how we propose to use the federal funds for the program, we basically put together a proposal to the federal government, and what it runs from 2011 through 2017, and what we've said to the federal government is we think we can make an average loan guarantee or guarantee an average loan amount of about $250,000 for each transaction. And we've proposed to them that we think we can do about 3,378 loan guarantees between now and 2017. We're not quite sure how the program is going to function through the rest of 2011 and 2012. The one major factor that will be influencing how this program works has to do with how receptive the banks are to accepting guarantees and issuing new loans. And that's the next big thing that we have to work through and get resolved. So really, that's sort of a general overview of the program. If there's specific questions, we'll be happy to take them.
All right. Merle, let me digress for just a second in case there's interest in the segue into the next Tuesday's phone conference. We have actually in our portfolio here in San Diego, Southern, we have 39 banks that we've guaranteed loans four over the past 20 years. Our average loan size is a little over 100,000, and our exposure right now is at about 35 million. We kind of typify the more senior corporations of the 11. There are seven of us that have been around for about 20 plus years, and that gives you some sense of the longevity of the program. And also, if there are questions about marketing, we have extensive experience in marketing, and we would be glad to discuss this further on Tuesday. But we market actually to the banks, which are going to be the request for the guarantees, as well as directly to small companies. We do probably 30 or 40 seminars and workshops throughout the fiscal year, inviting in small companies that have credit needs and financing needs, and discuss ways in which they can get financed.
Yeah, if I can just add a little bit to that, Mike, what we're finding is our niche in the guarantee program was really to the banks in the local area for, you know, credits that they wanted to keep the relationship with the client. The client wasn't quite bankable. They wanted to develop him, and we would go ahead and guarantee the loan. Where our sweet spot was primarily in lines of credit, revolving lines of credit for the banks, because though that's an area where there's a real credit need to provide capital to small businesses and working capital. And what we were able to do is really go out there and market the lines of credit to an awful lot of the banks and get the guarantees on that. What we're finding is the regulatory environment right now, at least with most of the independent banks in our area, and Mike, you may feel differently, is that the credit has really, really dried up. They don't want to make loans to almost anyone. What we're concerned about is how this, the federal program will be received by the banks. It's almost like we've got to go out and re-educate them. There's been a lot of changes in bankers. There's been a different mindset that's come along. So our challenge, I think, collectively is to market this program to the banks and say, you know, hey, we can help you fill that niche for borrowers, you know, under $1 million in loan guarantees is what we're looking at.
Right, Carl. And just to add to that, prior to the recession, a little over 2 years ago, our portfolio was 47% lines of credit. As we got into the recession in this economic downturn, we saw most of our lines of credit were termed out by the banks, and so the business, the contractor especially, no longer had a line of credit, so they lost not only capital, working capital, but also their bonding. The banks have come to us and asked us to guarantee the terming, and of course we would be required to do that because we already have a guarantee, so either they term it or they call the guarantee. As we move into this new era with added capacity, we're now beginning to communicate with our banks in terms of what the federal stimulus monies will do for us as we increase our capacity and expand our scope of service to the banks as well as to small businesses. So we're looking forward to an initial period of education and then moving into actually guarantees. I'd say of the 39 or so banks that we have in our portfolio, we have probably at least 10 that remain active and are waiting for us to have capacity to meet their needs.
And I would share that with you, Mike. What we're finding also is that there is a demand among a few, 10 or 12 of our banks, that there is demand for this product, and they're just waiting for the program to commence operation.
Thank you very much, Merrill, Michael, and Carl. I now think it's appropriate to open it up to questions from the rest of the participants in the teleconference.
I have a question about the California Loan Guarantee Program versus the SBA Guarantee Program. And when you're out there marketing to lenders, what do you tell them that the advantage of the California Loan Guarantee Program is versus the SBA Guarantee Program?
I love that question. This is Mike McCraw down in San Diego. Because I've been here 20 years, and prior to coming here, I used to package 504s for one of the CDCs up in the Central Valley. So I was very familiar with the SBA 504 and the 7(a) program. And so when I got here in San Diego with the the California program, most of the banks and businesses were wanting to know what was the difference, and the banks wanted to know, since you have no secondary market, why should we do business with you? And my initial response was just give us a chance. For one thing, we're very user-friendly, and the loan officers in the banks, one of our presentations are to the loan officers when the banks have their monthly meetings, and we talk to them about our availability to discuss credit requests that they feel are quite strong enough, but they'd like to do. It's a loan they would like to make, but it's not quite strong enough for the bank's approval. And so we encourage them to call us. And so we talked to probably 100 account officers in the first couple of years and let them know that we were available and that our loan officers are experienced and from the banking industry, and we can discuss the credit. And when they take that credit up to get it approved, they can always mention that the state of California is interested in putting a guarantee. We can't get the guarantee prior to them getting approval, but we certainly can express an interest, and it helps them get it done. And in turn, when we take a small company to a bank and say that this is a company that we'd like the bank to look at in terms of funding a loan, and we certainly are interested in guaranteeing, they find a partner. The small business likes, you know, and where it gets a red partner for them to talk to, and they may or may not qualify for a loan, but we become an intricate part of that community of small companies and banks. And that's how we've been able to separate ourselves from the SBA. But when they get, like, lines of credit, the SBA cap line program has been rather cumbersome for companies because it requires, you know, things that aren't cost effective for a smaller contractor. So we like to come in early on and guarantee lines up to 100,000, maybe 150, sometimes 200,000. Well, as small as 20,000 to 40,000, and prepare them for the SBA cap line when they're large enough and the costs there aren't cost prohibitive. So we're a good partner. The SBA doesn't mind having us in town. In fact, they've testified in congressional meetings here local in terms of how they need us to support them and participate in this business that they're in.
This is Herb Kolo from the state of Montana. I have a question for California speaker and a question in general. One of the last speakers said the banks are looking toward California guarantee program to guarantee the term out of some of the lines of credit. Was that correct so far?
Yes, yes. Okay. When there's a line of credit that we've already guaranteed, and the bank is under, you know, because of the financial strains also within the business, would feel the need, and of course, if the line's evergreen, they, you know, have to do something with it, and so terming it out is preferred, you know, for the bank and for us and the business. So terming, they would like to carry the guarantee over into the term, and we do that.
Okay.
Well, one of the issues that we have when we do that is the maximum term on any guarantee is 7 years. So
yes,
we may
yes.
have had a revolving line of credit for a period of time. If there's, especially now in the economy, the banks tend to ask us, would we term it out for the remainder of the 7 year term?
Yeah, and then the question that arises then, if you wind up using this SSBCI program, you probably wouldn't be able to use those funds because that would be considered a refinance, the terming out of that line of credit. Okay, is that correct? Is that correct, Paul?
If it's not a new extension of credit, cannot be reasonably interpreted as a new extension of credit, it could not be done using SSBCI funds. You know, you'd have to look at the particulars. I don't want to say yes or no without knowing precisely what the structure of the transaction is.
Businesses that are not in trouble but are shaky and their financial statement has deteriorated a little bit, they're not going to be able to go across the street and borrow money to which we could participate in that loan. They want to try to get some assistance and some help working with the lender and the credit they already have. But this program prohibits us from helping those businesses and the loans they already have. This program forces them to try to go across the street and find somebody else to lend them money in a credit environment that doesn't lend itself to moving a loan across the street.
Here in California, we're looking at that because we know that the federal program would have some limitations in terms of guaranteeing loans that we've already actually guaranteed, because there is an additional encumbrance of funds, of trust funds for us. If we have a line of credit that has, say, a liability at $100,000 and it's being termed, then the encumbrance level would not increase for us. But I guess that it'll be a marketing tool for us in using the federal program for new monies that are going out, and that we'll tell the bank and the borrower that we, in fact, will be with you even through a tougher time. So that's kind of a plus with us, is that we're able to have that kind of discussion because we don't give the authority of a guarantee to the bank, and we're in that discussion, and so we'll use it as a marketing tool. But the lines now that have been termed out, most of ours are already termed.
Paul, I'd like to sort of add on to that, if I may.
Sure, please.
This is Merrill Stevenson from the state of California. I've posed a policy question to the U.S. Department of Treasury about 10 days ago, and it had something to do with a concept that we're seeing out here, or a sort of a phenomenon that we're seeing out here. We call it credit gridlock. And what it is we have a lot of small businesses that have existing debt collateralized by all of their business assets. And as Mike had alluded to, that a lot of these deals are being turned out because they haven't been able to pay their lines of credit necessarily on a seasonal basis, so they ended up being termed out. But what happens is when these businesses end up terming out their debt and they want to get additional debt, the banks sort of want to wrap everything up. They want to take the existing debt and then the new credit and then get a guarantee on that, which sort of crosses the line into issuing guarantees on existing debt, which is not really allowed by the program. So I was hoping that the U.S. Department of Treasury would sort of reconsider allowing some of that, maybe on a very strict basis.
And I would love to see that, okay? If there would be some flexibility in working with the existing debtors and banks, knowing that there is credit gridlock out there.
There is going to be a need for additional capital because a line of credit is evergreen and been maxed out for maybe a year. It needs to be termed. But the small business, the contractor especially, usually has to have a line of credit for working capital on new projects. And there are contracts out there that they're coming into us with, but, of course, we need capacity, we need some leeway so we can support their working capital needs.
This is Cliff Kellogg from Treasury. The program, as written into the law by Congress, is pretty specific on this point. It does say that enrolling loans into these programs, if it's a loan, an existing loan from the same financial institution, is not allowable in the program. That's a rule that is beyond our ability to change. So new extensions of credit would be permissible, and new extensions of credit, even if the financial institution holds prior existing credit, that would be eligible. There's certainly no prohibition against California or any state using non-SSBCI funds to refinance that.
Does that mean that – this is Mike McCraw again. Does that mean that if a bank has an existing line and they're going to extend a new line, they could actually guarantee using the federal fund to guarantee the new line of credit? It would be new money. It would be a new credit facility because the existing facility would be termed out.
Correct. That's our understanding, is that if there was a new line of credit to replace a line that had been termed out, that would be allowed to be guaranteed. Is that correct, Cliff?
We're looking at each other here around the table, and we think the answer is yes to that. But why don't we get absolutely clear on that and then circulate a formal answer on that question?
I think our understanding was that it was to get new money out to the public.
Absolutely.
New credit.
Absolutely. I think
you're
hitting a very specific question, though, which is if you have a line that's at a certain amount, it expires, reaches its normal maturity, and then you are reissuing a new loan, but it's at exactly the same amount of money, is that enrollable, eligible under this program? I think we should come up with a formal answer for you on that. It seems like it would be, let us give us an opportunity to put that out to you more formally, please.
I think that
may or may not be the same size request, because if they have an existing line, say for $200,000, we may not be comfortable guaranteeing a new line of that size. So they may term to $200,000 and then want to extend a new line of credit for, say, $100,000 to help the company rebuild. So that in your discussion, you might add that caveat.
Yeah.
We thank you.
That's a very good question. Thank you. We'll handle that.
Cliff, I wrote quite a bit on it. My email to the application. Well, to the email that we send stuff to at the treasurers here.
Yeah.
And I never got a response. So can I forward that question to you?
Yes, we people around the table are nodding to us that we do have that. So we know that we owe you an answer, and it's in our inbox.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Marcos Gonzalez from New Mexico. I was wondering if it's possible for the California folks to share their loan guarantee policy and procedures, just so the rest of us could examine exactly how they structure their deals.
This is Merrill Stevenson. Our policies are pretty generic. We can guarantee lines of credit and or term loans. The maximum guarantee liability is $500,000. The maximum term is 7 years. And the maximum percentage guarantee is 90%. Those are sort of general policies. We have a lot of very specific policies about other types of transactions, but I'm not sure that this is the venue to really get into too much in the way of detail there.
When we go out, this is Mike McCraw in San Diego, California. When the bank is interested in loan documentation and compliance, what I tell them in a very general sense is they need to treat our loan as they would any loan in their portfolio, but that we specifically require that they perfect and protect our security interests. That is, don't come calling on a guarantee to be paid on if you haven't actually treated that loan as you would any loan in your portfolio and make sure that their security interest is still available to assist with recovery. And those are the things that we talk about. And in our docs, of course, there's a lot of specific issues, but if they comply with that, but those generalities, then they pretty much conform with the guarantee documentation that they've signed.
Carl from Cal Coastal, the gentleman from New Mexico, does that answer, or were you looking for something else?
No, that answers my question.
This is Lori Mateus from New Jersey. Could I just ask what the typical leverage number looks like in the programs that you were describing?
You mean the leverage? We're allowed 5-to-1. Our corporation at this time is at about 3-to-1 because the borrowing activity has really declined, as well as the loan size. So we're allowed by law to go to a 5-to-1 leverage, but we're at about 3-to-1 right now.
And earlier there was a mention of the program that was going to run from 2011 to 2017, which was the approved program under the new program, the new
SBA. Uh-huh.
What leverage is anticipated through that program? Projected?
Oh, that program. Okay, Merle, I'll let you carry that one.
Yeah, we're going to try to work within our 5-to-1 leverage one of the things that we're working on right now is from a program standpoint, the program requires that we leverage federal funds 10 to 1. But that's cumulative. In other words, we're allowed, in our program, we'll receive $84 million. That means we're supposed to issue $840 million in new credit. But the actual liability leverage of that trust fund will probably remain in the 5-to-1 range, at least initially. So we want to work within our state limit. If we need to, we may modify that to make sure that we meet the goals.
Merrill, historically, you know, the total dollar amounts that we have of loans outstanding have been in about 10 times what the balance of the trust fund has been. That doesn't mean that we would be guaranteeing 100% of those loans. That's not the case. We guarantee a smaller percentage of those loans.
But that's correct.
The total dollar amount of loans outstanding is about 10 to 1. And that's been historically our case.
Hello.
Hello, this is Percy Cloudon from the U.S. Virgin Islands Economic Development Authority. Is there any opportunity to decrease the 1 to 10 ratio?
And that one is written into the law as well, that at the time of the application, that states have a reasonable expectation of achieving that 10 to 1 leverage. And, of course, there's different ways that states can make the case or to arrive at that reasonable expectation. Historic track record is a good way to do it. But if you're starting a program for the first time, then the definitions that you use in your maximum permissible leverage and looking at other loan guarantee programs, those would also be good ways to show the expectation.
Yeah. My second question is, does this program support guaranteeing of payment and performance bonds?
It can. We view surety as credit, so that's certainly one permissible use as long as it meets the other criteria that are embedded in the statute and the policy guidance.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is a bit of an aside to that. Is with some of our contractors in the past, we've done two lines of credit, one for working capital, and the second is to secure their surety bond. It's just a mechanical way of meeting that need.
Right. A quick question on the leverage. The law also requires 1% private money. Does that mean first dollar out of federal dollars has to be matched with a dollar of private, or can it be the 1-to-1 achieved over a several-month period?
Yeah, I think first I just want to make sure we're clear. I'll look at my colleagues to correct me if I state this wrong, but all the different programs that a state applies for, when aggregated together, that must meet the 10-to-1 leverage requirement. And then within that, you may have sub programs. For example, you might have a capital access program and a loan guarantee program, or a loan guarantee program and a loan participation program. Those are all different options open to you. Each one individually must be at least the 1-to-1 leverage. Taken as a whole, it's the 10-to-1 number.
Right, but is that 1-to-1 leverage first dollar out, or what can be achieved after it reaches steady state?
It's a cumulative number. In other words,
with a loan guarantee and a 90% guarantee, you won't get a 1-to-1 on the first transaction. It has to be a cumulative. Maximum guarantee size is 90%. And most of the banks, you know, in these troubled times, 90%.
That's correct. And, of course, as you said, you may be guaranteeing just one of the loans that the bank is making at that time. So the leverage calculation would be just the portion, all the new credit that's coming in at the time the loan is made, and all the new credit that comes in over the seven-year life of the program, divided by the amount of SSBCI funds.
California, how do you structure the loan, the fees for your loan guarantees?
Generally, the fees.
We typically charge 2% of the amount we encumber. So if you're going to do a $100,000 lot credit facility, and you guarantee 90%, you do 2% of the 90%. A one-time plus a $250 documentation fee.
A one-time fee.
Uh-huh.
And the 11 contractors you use, have they been the same since 1960, or do you go out for different RFPs occasionally?
Some have come, some have gone, but as long as they're meeting the requirements of the program, they can stay. To answer your question, we probably have, of the 11, I think 6 or 7 are original ones that have been there since the beginning. And then the others have taken over different slots for ones that have left. We added 3 new ones by law in 2007, I believe.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Lynn Cutler from Philadelphia. Can you hear me?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. We're a CDFI and a microloan program, and a question has come up about whether development services, the cost of development services are allowed under this, as long as the state makes the overall 10-to-1 leverage. Could you comment on that, please?
I'm not clear as to Merle. You answered that question, but
I think it's a question for the Treasury people to answer, because I think it's basically is it allowed under the federal program?
So the question would be: could the state pay for development services, technical assistance, and would that be an allowable use of SSBCI funds, provided that the entire program met the leveraging requirements? Is that the right question?
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not can't immediately think of any disqualifiers that are in the statute, but why don't we also get you formal clarification on that question, too?
That would be great. Thank you so much, Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is John Kingery from Georgia. I have a question for you, Merrill, please. Can you elaborate on how you achieve the 10-to-1 cumulative with it when you're offering a 90% guarantee?
I think the confusion lies in the fact that don't consider the percentage of guarantee. That's not really a factor. What it is you have to look at it from how much a new credit does this program create. So in our case, our program received in round figures $84 million. And so we are basically setting goals between now and 2017 to leverage that $84 million 10 times. So that $84 million should result in $840 million in new bank debt. And so the actual percentage part of it doesn't really come into play. It's more of a program-type goal. So what we did basically is we did our very best guess to see what we could do in the way of number of guarantees each year to get to that goal of 10-to-1.
Merrill, another way maybe of looking at that is whatever we guarantee, whether it's 50 to 90%, that's one number. It's a guaranteed amount. But what's the overall loan amount? In other words, as Mike said earlier, you do a $100,000 facility, you guarantee 90% of it, you got a $90,000 guarantee. But what counts in the 10-to-1 ratio is the $100,000 extension of credit that the bank is doing.
Right.
So the gross loan that's outstanding, not the guarantee amount.
Right, but on that, you would have a $100,000 extension of credit by the bank, but you would be providing a 90% guarantee.
Correct. But our My personal reading of the situation is it would have to be the total amount of the loan outstanding.
This is Greg Cole from Maryland. If I can express it a little bit differently, it's the cash in the fund employed that results in the loan being made. So if you're allowed by statute a 5-to-1 leverage, that means for every $1 of guarantee, you employed 20 cents of cash in the fund. So you have a 1-to-5 leverage of cash to guarantee. And if a dollar of guarantee results in $2 of loan, then your end result is a $2 loan by employing 20 cents of cash.
That's another way of looking at it, yeah.
And that's very true because the banks know that we are allowed a 5-to-1 leverage. So although we may put a 90% guarantee, which we don't do very often anymore, with a 90% guarantee, that with a 5-to-1 leverage allowable, if every loan were to be called, there wouldn't be a 90% guarantee available.
So you have to think of it in terms of the dollar amount of cash employed,
right. Right.
Resulting in the bank loan being made. What is your leverage between those two numbers, not what is the percentage of the guarantee?
Right, because we're leveraging at 5-to-1. So, you know, and then you have lines of credit, whereas, you know, every year, if the line is performing, then we reduce the percentage of guarantee. So over time, you have a smaller guarantee, but you have a larger facility. All those factors are, you know, over the years, that's why we're at the leverage we're at for the program.
California, this is Cliff Kellogg. How did you decide that 5-to-1 leverage so that you could be guaranteeing $5 with just $1 of cash on hand to back it? How did you arrive at that number?
That's our program limit as it's for the state program. So that's always been, no, I shouldn't say always, but that's been.
We were at 4-to-1. I think it was lower than that. I think that the way we sell it to the banks is that with a loss rate, you know, up until 2 years ago, you know, our loss rate for our corporation was like under 1%, and we were only doing substandard loans. And with that kind of loss rate, they were very comfortable with a 5-to-1 leverage with whatever percent guarantee they could get because they were confident because of our loss rate. Our loss rate now is around 3%, and that's still, in this day and time, is still considered more than acceptable.
I have a question. This is Paul Pride again. How are the FDCs paid? How do you support yourself? Do you get grants? Do you support yourself on fees? How does that work?
There's three sources, Paul. The way it works is number one, the state puts in annually some general fund money for the FDCs to operate. Then in addition to that, the trust fund earns interest, and a portion of that is used to pay the FDCs. And then finally, the FDCs support themselves with guarantee fees that they collect for each transaction. Our contract, however, only reflects general fund money and trust fund money.
Oh.
Interest.
This is Michael. I have a question both for California and for the program folks. Do you folks require any particular impacts to be achieved as a condition of your loan or as a underwriting criteria, for example, jobs per dollar to be created or retained, or perhaps a new business to be created, and so on? Or is it just a matter that they need the credit enhancement, period?
Right. We're not like the 504 where you have a jobs required for so many dollars of loans.
Right.
But when we look at it, the first criteria along that line is that it has to be a loan that would not be made by a bank without a guarantee. And we need to see proof of that And so we look for the various deficiencies. But as far as the number of job creation, we don't have that as an issue because these small companies that we do, the average in number of employees is around between 5 and 10. So we don't do a lot of the larger ones anyhow. So we don't have a job creation requirement. But we have had a healthy, over time, number of jobs created and retained.
Mike, I think that kind of goes back to that earlier question that the lady asked about what's the difference between us and the SBA program, and that is that we don't have a job requirement.
Okay.
Right.
And programmatically, for the SSBCI program, my understanding is not a particular impact required for this. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Merle, I had a question. You mentioned very early on that over the life of the program, since about 1970, you'd made about 30,000 loan guarantees. In terms of total loan volume over that, 40-year period, I guess it is, what does that represent, and how much was in the expansion fund to support that level of cumulative lending guarantees?
I haven't been in the program all that long, off and on over maybe 10 years. But I think initially the state put some money into the program. Mike, you might recall what it was, but there was money put into the program back in the early 70s, and then subsequently throughout the years there's been different additions. The trust fund, from what I recall, has been as high as $40 million, and I think right now it's about $26 million. Mike, do you have any more facts on that?
20 years ago, when we came on board, it was around $20 million. We grew it up to the $40 million in the better times. But right now, like you say, now it's rather, what, 20-some million. In the beginning, I don't know what the we're 20 years old. It already had 10 years of life before we came on board. So I'm not sure what the initial appropriation was for the trust fund. But when we came on board, it was around $20 million.
Do you have any idea over the last 20 years how much in the way of loan volume you've been able to support?
Oh, for our corporation?
Just generally.
Let me just throw in there real quick, Mike. We keep pretty elaborate reports on the type of guarantee activity from year to year. And we have some pretty good reports going back a decade. I think prior to that, the records are a little bit, I'm not quite sure where they are. We'd have to dig into them. But we have some pretty good records, like I said, going back about 10 years. So we've been averaging somewhere around 1,000 guarantees annually.
And the average guarantee is around 250, you said?
Well, in this particular program, the average guarantee amount is down to about 140,000.
Oh, okay. That's
when we took a look at the federal program, we were looking at much larger deals, and so we guessed the average at about 250,000.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
And I think the average on that has been low because largest amount you could guarantee was 350,000. I think about 7 years ago it was raised to $500,000. The amount that you could, the maximum loan amount was probably under $300,000 years ago in the program.
And that's our exposure. We could not expose. No, it's 500, but we typically stated it at the 350.
Cliff and Paul,
yes?
Because we're running out of time, I was curious about other states, other collateral support programs, such as the other collateral support programs or loan participation programs. And since we're running out of time on this call, would it be possible to identify or set up another conference call where states could talk about those other types of programs?
We'd be happy to host that call. Would other states be interested in hearing more about other eligible programs?
Yes, definitely.
Yes, definitely.
From Nevada.
Yes.
Yes, from Georgia.
Yes.
Okay, so there's some doubt. We could do, let me just name some eligible programs, and you tell us if they're of interest, because we're happy to organize whatever would be useful. There are loan participation programs. Would that be of interest?
Yes.
Okay. There are state-run venture capital programs?
Yes.
Okay. There are other collateral support programs. I believe those would be types of programs where the state provides cash collateral for particular loans.
Yes.
Okay. And it sounds like there's stronger interest in these subject areas than in pulling together bankers for a conversation. Is that right?
No.
Okay, so you'd like to hear from bankers, too.
Yes.
This is Shannon. I think that having the ABA on the call or a representative might be helpful so that he's or she is hearing what some of the strategies might be and might help facilitate dialogue with the state associations.
Absolutely. We've reached out to them already, and I know they are interested, so I'll be happy to include them in our next call.
And I would like to hear what the CDFI community is doing with the banks in other states.
Okay.
Hello?
And
Hello? Yeah, I would like to hear about the CDFIs, too, not just with the banks, but how we might be able to, this might be another source of capital for the CDFIs to develop a statewide system of small business lending. Mm-hmm. Okay. So not just with the banks, but in, you know, the entirety of how this program could support that movement.
Is the format of having these conference calls on Tuesdays and Thursdays work for you? We could continue with this schedule if that works for you.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Well, we will let's continue then, and we will work to continue the Tuesday and Thursday frequency. We'll send out a schedule, and I'll ask my colleagues here in the office to be reaching out to you. It would help us if you would like to describe your program on one of these calls. Could you please email us to this email address, ssbciquestions@treasury.gov. Again, that's ssbciquestions.gov. If you would like to have your program discussed here, we'd really like to give you that forum, and maybe we could have not just a program staff person describe, but maybe if you have a financial institution that participates in the program, they could join the call, and that way we could get both perspectives at the same time. I think that would be a good enhancement. So we will look for your emails, and we will continue this schedule of calls. I'm so glad that so many states participated today. My count was over 38 states, which is terrific. And we'll look forward to continuing it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. What came to mind is that it would be nice if we had a secondary market. So I guess you out there in Washington, the Treasury, might think about ways of our state loan guarantee programs creating a secondary market so we could truly be out there within the realm of the SBA.
Okay, thank you. That's a big question, but we'll keep it on our list.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Have a great day.